This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Don't talk that.
Welcome to Yak Radio, the radio show that's about, well, who knows? It's a different topic every week, but Yak Radio is always full of information to help you and your family get through life. Now here's your Yak Radio host, Dave Stahl.
Don't talk that.
All right, folks, welcome. With Dave Stahl and our good friend Audrey Mason's in the house. How you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing great. How about you?
We're just sitting here hanging out. And you know, folks, the last Sunday of every month, we have Audrey come in, and Ed usually comes in as well. But I think he's out crawling around some. Yeah, you're not. Are we both hot? Okay, good. Well, you might want to turn you up a little bit.
Maybe. Oh, there we go. Now I can hear.
Oh, funny thing. Well, wait till the blood starts pouring out. Hey, folks, this segment is brought to you by San Diego Propane. You know, I've got propane at my house. I was using a family-owned company out in East County, and they sold to one of the bigger corporations, and the service really went into the tank. My prices went up, and I didn't have that one-on-one. So a friend of mine told me, hey, give Dave a call at San Diego Propane, 619-460-1705 or sd-propane.com. And he says, now you can give them a call, but all they do is East County. They don't travel all over San Diego County. So, you know, just be prepared for that. I go, well, I live out there. It'd be perfect. So I gave Dave a call. He brought it, sent his son out. They took a look at what we had and was a little surprised that I had a big meter on my tank. He says, I don't know why they do that. Usually that's for corporations. So he changed out the tank. And that was the other thing, too. I had a large tank. I told the company that it was really rusting bad and I needed to either paint it or replace. Well, by the time they got around to it, you couldn't paint it. So they replaced it and they downsized it from a 50 to a 25. And I went, oh, I was really upset. 619-460-1705. Family owned and operated, San Diego Propane. Also, West Escondido Auto and Trans. Four locations now. One in El Cajon, one in Escondido, and one on Miramar Road, and one in Balboa. You can't beat it. WestAutomotiveGroup.com. Napa Auto Care, ASC certified. Warranty clear across the continental United States. All right, we got Aubrey Mason in the house. How you doing, kid?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
And I think we got Ed Stoven on the line.
He should be.
I'm here, yes.
Can you hear me? There we be. And this is our monthly edition of what's going on when it comes to the deserts. And you just came back from Sacramento.
Yeah.
How did that go?
That was hopefully instrumental.
Uh-huh.
We made way. I got to meet with my Congressman Brian Jones.
Oh, good, good.
Or he's senator right now. We want him to be congressman,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah, Brian's a good friend.
Yes. So I got to meet with him. I got to meet with a few others, Randy Vopel, a couple of other big committee chair members, representatives. And, you know, some of them were aware of what was going on and some of them weren't aware of what was going on.
Wow.
So, you know, I kind of approached it to the ones that were aware of what's your recommendation, what can we do moving forward so that we can make some sort of change and headway. And
did you get any good feedback?
The number one feedback we got was start a petition. So we're working on starting a petition and getting thousands of signatures of not, you know, we have past petitions. There are thousands of signatures that are already out there from the past few years, but they want something current 2020 with it. So we got to start a new petition and get new signatures going for.
And what is going to be the basis to this petition? What are you asking for?
That is a really good question. There's a couple of different things, but basically is opening up the 48 acres that they just took of the four dunes and regaining back to the 950 permits would be the start of it.
So basically, like let's say you want to open up the underpasses at the rail crossings. That's a separate petition.
That is a separate petition.
And this is a petition to do that. And then there's another and then there's another. Okay, I get you.
So what we found out was basically there's no scientific data. They were supposed to put the 48-acre closure for dunes through a scientific computer model, an analysis, an EIR report, an environmental impact report. And it's supposed to go through this long process. Well, it kind of skated that somehow or another, and because what we found was the first couple of weeks that they had the four dunes closed, The high tides came in, and the tides came into where they had the Ford Dune closed. So, you know, they've put in this closure. They've got the Bay Hill.
What are you? What word is that you're looking for?
Hails of Bay Hills. I can't even say it properly right
Ed
now.
Ed Saver.
The bales of hay that they scattered all throughout. There you go. I couldn't say it properly in my mind for some reason. I apologize.
That's okay.
That they've spread throughout to try and reduce the dust abatement. They don't want the dust blowing, right? So they close this down. They put the bales of hay in there. They put in some fences, and they're trying to spread hay all throughout, right? And then they just went through and put in night cameras, and they're trying to watch for invasive species or you know, trying to find
anything
what animals are out there that they could
for
protection and everything, yeah. Right? Well, one of the things that they did is they brought in all these bales of hay. What are they finding on these night cameras? They brought in non-native mice and rats. They brought in rodents that are not native to the area. So they're worried about these birds, and they're worried about these other animals. And yet here they are doing their own damage.
OMG. So these hay bales must have been impregnated with little mice?
Yeah.
So now they have a mouse problem.
So now they have a rodent issue.
They got a bird out there is an endangered species called the least tern, and we've lost a lot of acres to this bird. And part of the problem is they nest on the ground. So now they have rats and mice running around. So what happens to their nest?
What happens to their eggs?
They created their own problem.
And you know they'll eat the eggs. The rats will eat the eggs.
Mm-hmm. So this is a whole new issue that we are now working at addressing.
So that's
that's
a petition all in itself.
It's all in its yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So
is anybody in the media? Hey Steve, anybody in the media world talking about this rodent thing? I mean, has anybody fessed up to it?
This is like a brand new thing that they've just started because they just put in they just gave access to the information for the night cameras and that sort of thing. So it's a new issue that's been pointed out.
Yeah, I might be the first. Well, yeah, because OMG.
Cutting edge here.
And now that means we have to pay for rodent abatement.
Mm-hmm. What issue are they going to come up with next, too?
Well, what if these rodents have got diseases? This thing could just get carried away like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a congressman this morning, and I said, you people do not make your decisions are made so short-sighted, I cannot believe. Because every time you guys make a law change, all of a sudden there's repercussions that'll blow your socks off, and you guys all go, oh, well, you know, we just didn't think it through. Well, don't do it if you're not thinking it all the way through. Get more people involved that maybe you'll bring some ideas.
Things that you haven't thought about.
But who would have thought the hay bales would have brought rodents? I mean, there was rodents living in the hay. Where'd you get those hay bales?
Right. Well, I know when we had to work with Akatia Wells, we had to bring in a specific kind because you can't, it's like a specific rice bale. It's only made in Northern California and it has to be shipped down here. And
well, of course.
Yeah. So it was very difficult for us to actually bring rice bales into Corral Canyon to the kids training track and over to the Akatia Wells kids training track where we have set up the, because it has to be a specific kind and this, you know. So there's a lot that goes into actually bringing in that sort of thing to it.
So there goes our folks not talking to one another, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if the guys up at Pismo would have talked to the guys down in the Glamis area, they could have told them, oh, by the way, if you're bringing in hay bales, don't take those, bring these.
Yeah.
And they'd have said no because it probably cost too much money.
The Cleveland National Forest makes us get rice bales, not hay bales. Like, it's very specific what they'll allow in there because they don't want an endangered or invasive species, you know, like different kind of grass growing.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that?
Yeah, if the Cleveland would have talked to the state parks, they would have done a lot better on this one.
Yeah. So now they're trying to collect all the rodents and clean all those hay bales out and put new ones in, or no?
We haven't seen them removing anything. They're just adding in more and more to it. It's all about the dust abatement right now. So I don't even know if they're actually focused on the rodent issue yet. It's just a new concern.
The neighbors will.
Brought up.
The neighbors in their multi-million-dollar mansions are going to have little furry friends in their backyard.
Yeah.
kid.
So it was really great up in Sacramento, walking around with all of them, meeting, learning all the different things for Oceana, meeting with the different representatives from all over California, all the different leaders of different clubs met up there. The Stand for the Sand rally was good. We had about 1,000 people show up all together throughout the day. So it was a decent turnout throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, we only had a couple hundred there, I would say, at one particular point of time or not. But they rallied. They did their whole, they walked the block around the entire state capitol building. Mm-hmm. And then we went in and we did our quote unquote tours with the most familiar person who knows, you know, the different committees, different things.
Sure.
And they took different groups in and showed them, you know, who you need to talk to. Address, you know, we talked about how you would talk to them, different things like that. So you can properly speak with your assemblymen and your senator and their staffers and reach across. And then you can go to the different committees and you know, we laid that out to them and we talked to several different people when we were up in Sacramento. So I think we made some headway.
Cool. Hold that thought for a second. We're going to take a quick break. We come back a whole lot more with Aubrey and Ed. I mean, I want to find out what her impression was of going into Sacramento. Was it swampy or was it okay? You'll find out right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Yak Radio with Dave Stahl. This is Aubrey Mason's hour, her and Ed Stoven, and I guess you could call this the Off-Road Coalition Hour until you come up with a name.
Yeah, I'll work on a name.
We like that.
Got to come up with something catchy.
That's what I thought, too. Hey, this segment is brought to you by Bumper Dock Santee, 8711 Magnolia Street, SanteeBumperDock.com. Go over there for scratches, dings, and dents. And if you have an undercarriage or driveline issue, Sand Eagle Gear and Axle. Steve can definitely take care of anything and everything. New parts, used parts, OEM parts, modification, two-wheel to four-wheel, four-wheel to front-wheel, whatever you want. SDGearAxle.com, SDGearAxle.com. Just make sure you heard it right here on KCBQ. So, Aubrey, who have you got for your next guest?
We need to talk about Tierra del Sol 4x4 Club. They are putting on their annual desert safari. We've got Patrick Vaughn, the current president of TDS, on the phone with us to join us, and he's going to tell us all about the upcoming event.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Dave, Audrey, Ed. Nice to talk to you all. How are you all doing?
We're doing wonderful. And have you got a lot of sleep under your belt for this weekend? Slept all day today and yesterday? Because I think you're going to be busy next weekend.
We're going to be busy. Actually, right now as I'm speaking to you, I'm sitting in my RV at the site of our vendor expo. So we're here. Some merchandise is arriving already. We're expecting the stage delivery. I think tomorrow morning our big tent arrives. So work has already started on site. So we're already losing sleep.
Yeah. Wow. This clear as a bell. You know, you're out there in your RV, man. You guys could call in next Sunday, tell me how everything went. So hey, for folks,
all right.
We will. Why not? Hey, for folks that have never done off roading or never even. Or maybe they bought that Jeep and they don't know what to do with it. They just know it's got one more shifter on the floor than it's supposed to have. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have to offer for that first-time Jeep owner.
Absolutely, yeah. So, our event, it's the 58th year. So, 58th annual Tierra del Sol Desert Safari. And it's made up of a few different characteristics. So, we have a big vendor area. So if people have just bought a Jeep or thinking about to buy a Jeep or a Tacoma or whatever their vehicle of choice is, and they want to see what modifications that they need to do with it, obviously all the vendors here will be displaying their wares. They're a great resource for people to come and talk to before you buy anything and have a chat with them to see what they would recommend. And then, you know, the other side of it is obviously you can go to hundreds of trails out here, but we actually lead a guided trail through State Park, which is perfect for the experienced people for sure, but definitely for the first time off-roader, just getting new. They'll have a lot of help and guidance. We'll take them around a beautiful, interesting trail. There'll be lots of ups and downs, and they'll be articulating and so forth as well. You know, with the weather out here in the desert, it's different every week, you know, so there'll be plenty of fun to be had by them. We'll show them what to do. We'll guide them. We also, this year, taking people on a guided trail to some BLM land. So that's new for us. There'll be about three trails that we'll be doing on BLM land. They're more difficult, so we have a smaller number of people going on those, but you can sign up at registration on from Thursday night onwards, and we'll take you there and do some other rock crawling as well. But, you know, something for everybody. For the, you know, I meet every year here, I meet so many people that have been coming for 30, 40 years, and then so many people, it's their first time, and first time off-roading. So it's fantastic.
Well, you know, it's things like, in my mind, you know, if you're going to go off-roading, because everybody that owns a Jeep has little bits and pieces of information, like if you're going to go off-road, you need to lower your tire pressure. Well, how much do you lower your tire pressure? Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Absolutely.
So let's find out from, you know, Tierra del Sol. These guys will actually tell you how much air to lower. These guys will tell you if you have a way to disconnect your sway bars electronically. They'll explain to you why that's important or why it's not important. Mm-hmm. They'll talk to you about what gear to put the transfer case in. You know, do I put it high, low? Do I put it in low four? Where do I do it? And how do I do it? Because they told you at the dealer, right? Ah! People, like I was just, and I got Audrey laughing her, you know, what off, you know, because most people just think it's another shifter on the floor and they forgot what it was for. So Tierra del Sol is a great way to get the maximum out of your Jeep and hang out with some of the most fun people ever. And a friend of mine's going out Friday, and I said, no, you need to go out Saturday and tell them what's going to be so exciting about Saturday.
Well, Saturday we have all our trails. So the trails, the state park trail, the main trail, especially for beginners, that kicks off at 8 a.m. in the morning, and we'll be lining up around near Holly Road. So that starts and it goes, you know, basically all day. I mean, it'll take a few hours to get around. There'll be hundreds of other vehicles that you'll be following along, and then all the Tierra del Sol folks, both the members and other volunteers, will be there in orange T-shirts, and they'll be helping everybody. You know, you make a good point, Dave, teaching people how to air down properly, how to disconnect their sway bars. I mean, it makes your vehicle a lot more effective, but it's also a safety issue as well. I mean, it keeps you safe. I mean, these vehicles are built to do incredible things, but they must be set up properly as well, and then you know, the driver needs to be knowledgeable. So taking it small steps at a time, and that's what we do. We walk everybody through it, and nobody's left behind, and we all have a good time. And then all throughout the day, and even starting Thursday night, all through the weekend until Sunday morning, we have over 100 vendors exhibiting at our expo site. And there you'll have everybody from, you know, Metal Cloak, Off-Road Warehouse, BFG, a whole host of people will be all there. Selling their wares, telling you about the different things. And then, of course, we're all building up to Saturday night when we have an incredible raffle. We'll be giving away really over $100,000 worth of prizes, all donated generously by our vendors. And it's fantastic. It's one of the biggest raffles going. And you can win some incredible stuff. You can win, you know, Curry Axles, Metal Cloak are basically giving away over $15,000 worth of modifications to your Jeep. There's a BFG are giving away multiple sets of tires along with Raceline beadlocks and Nexen tires, you name it. Mickey Thompson, they're all there. Everybody giving away, donating to the raffle. So there's incredible prizes. And you get a raffle ticket with every registration that you buy. You get to go on the trails and you get a raffle ticket. So it's only those that register will be entered into the main raffle. You can buy some other raffle tickets as well for some other incredible bucket prizes as well. So it really is an action-packed day. We'll have food vendors here. There'll be lots of things for the kids to do as well. There'll be, you know, bouncy castles. There'll be Dr. Bronner's magic foam experience for anybody that wants to get hot and wet in the mud in the desert.
Yeah, really.
Bring a change of clothes and a towel, right? So,
yeah.
You know, and then we have people like from Cal 4-Wheel and Corva as well. They'll be exhibiting here as well and telling people why they should join those organizations, you know, kind of along what Audrey and Ed are talking to you about there. It's all about fighting to keep our trails open. So those organizations will be here. The TDS, every member here is also a member of Cal 4-Wheel. They'll be here. Lots of people, they'll have their new Winner Jeep, actually. They'll be raffling off a Jeep over the next year, they'll be selling tickets for that, and you'll be able to preview that Jeep before it's even all modified and stuff, and buy tickets for that as well.
Wow. Yeah, so my Action Pack Wheel Winner Jeep's given away every February, so the last one was just given away, and they just got the brand new one to give away.
Sweet.
Oh, my God, I didn't win?
Yeah, no. Well, you got to buy a ticket.
Sorry.
No, I bought tickets. I thought I'd won, but I guess, you know, someone else.
I buy tickets.
Well, I went to the convention hoping that I could drive it home myself, but unfortunately, I had to sit there and watch somebody else drive it home. But it's all good.
So I like to consider this, aside from King of the Hammers, which just happened at the beginning of February, This is the second largest Southern California off-roading event. This is actually in the desert, and this is, aside from King of the Hammers, this is the largest off-road desert event that there is in Southern California.
Well, and the other bonus to Tierra del Sol's event is it's not going to cost you as much as if you went to King of the Hammer. Because 90% of the vehicles that went to King of the Hammer got towed home in parts and pieces, bent every way known to man. I mean, you get driven over by other buggies. No.
Oh, yeah.
Tierra del Sol
is a lot more sedate.
Yes, a lot more family, a lot more fun. Yes. Not taking anything away against Tierra or King of the Hammers. I mean, but just the name should tell you everything, folks. Trust me.
Yeah, it's definitely a family-orientated organization. And, you know, this is just one event, our big event that we put on every year. But, you know, every few weekends, we're going out. We're leading runs all over the place to Big Bear. We go to Arizona.
Sure.
You know, we're everywhere. So definitely people should check us out throughout the year as well, because we do the same thing almost every other weekend.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And if you own a Jeep or a Toyota 4x, anything with a 4x4 system underneath it that you're going to want to take it off-road, you need to hook up with these people, because they will take you in like family, show you everything you ever wanted to know about the off-road community. And by going to Tierra del Sol, you'll see vendors in one spot. You don't have to get on the internet and try to figure out, is this a good piece or a bad piece? Because what will happen is everybody that's vending out there, there's representatives that will give you every ounce of information you could ever want. Whether it be a winch, whether it be, do you need bead lockers? Do you really need, what is a bead locker? I don't know what a bead locker is. So there's people out there that'll tell you what a bead locker is. And do you need it? You know, because, I mean, let's face it, if you were buying anything from Audrey, I mean, my goodness, she could sell you a refrigerator if you're living in Alaska. And because she's a good salesperson. But if you want to talk to the people that really know all these parts and pieces so that when you do put these on your vehicle, you know they're going to do the job. I think it's great. Hey, Patrick, thank you very much for taking time out of your day and calling in. So what are the hours next weekend?
All right. So it's starting Thursday night. It opens at around 5 p.m. on Thursday evening. It runs right through to Sunday morning. We're actually followed by a cleanup in the 4x4 training area in Ocotillo Wells on Sunday morning as well. But Saturday is the main event day with all the trails running, and then the big raffle at night as well. But come out and spend the weekend with us. You'll have an awesome time, and we welcome you, and we look forward to seeing everybody.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much for calling in. Enjoy the rest of your day. Now go try to figure out where all the prizes are, and don't be putting your thumb on any of them either.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Thanks, Audrey and Ed.
Thank you, Pat. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next weekend.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We got a whole lot more right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This segment's brought to you by 3D Products. Go to smartcarcareproducts.com, smartcarcareproducts.com, and you can get all your detailing and waxes and brushes and rags and sprayers, you name it. They do it all. Plus, they have a detail clinic that you can do on Saturday. So go to smartcarcareproducts.com. Check them out. All right, we got Audrey and Ed in there from the Off-Road Coalition, and we've been talking about their experiences. Now, Audrey, you went to Sacramento. Did you go, Ed?
I did not.
Okay. So
I stayed home, went to work.
So what was your opinion? I mean, had you been to Sacramento before? Hold on a second. I don't think she's on. Is she on? Okay.
It was my first time going to Sacramento. Yeah.
So what was your impression?
I was very nervous. I didn't know how I was going to be. And I went by myself. I didn't have anybody going with me.
Really?
I had nobody to lead me. So I had different points of view. I had some people tell me, you know, go in and have copies of everything that you want to discuss for each of the staffers and talk to the staffers before you talk to the representative and, you know, make sure you get your point across. And then I had other people come in there that say, you know, they're going to take those pieces of paper and turn them into airplanes and throw them right over into the trash can and not even pay attention to it, you know. So just go in there, know what it is that you're talking about, be confident, hold your head up high, keep eye contact with them, and just know what you're talking about, you know. Research it, have your data, have your facts, and be able to back, you know, so that's what I did. I went in there and I just wanted to say, hey, are you aware of what's going on out at Oceana? Are you aware of the current situation? You know, and what's your opinion? If you are aware of it, what's your opinion? What's your recommendations? What can we do moving forward to save it and keep it, you know? One of the things that I found out prior to that I was not aware of is that the state vehicular recreation areas, I thought that all of them were purchased from our OHV trust fund. So we have we pay registrations for our bikes. We have a green sticker and a red sticker. That registration fee then goes into this trust fund over here, and that trust fund is used, and that's what pays for a lot of our SVRAs. It purchased a lot of our SVRAs back in the day, and that's what I thought had bought Oceana Dunes. What I found out up in Sacramento was that it was the first state vehicular recreation area, and it was actually a gift from the legislators over 100 years ago. It was a gift to the public, to the people of the state of California, to have a place to be able to go on the beach and go recreate. And then one of the other things that I think is very unique about this location and very special about it is anywhere else in the state of California, unless it's a privately owned beach, private party, obviously it's going to be a multimillionaire that owns that because who can afford to own beach front property or the Marines. Right. So this is the only beach in the state of California that you can actually sleep on the beach. You can throw your sleeping bag on the beach and sleep. Any other one, San Alejo, you know, any of them, you look at them, Santa Barbara, any of them, you are on a man-made camping pad up above and not in the beach area. You're not on the actual beach when you go camping. You know, look at any Coronado, look at any of them.
Right.
You're on a man-made camping pad. Oceana Dunes is the only beach that you can actually go to any person and lay your tent and your sleeping bag directly on the beach and sleep, and it's not illegal.
Wow.
Yeah. So that I used as a unique location destination. It gives you low-income families access, equal access, equal opportunities to be able to have access and camp on the beach. Mm. You look at any other state beach, it's $35 a night at a minimum, usually $55 a night to tent camp and have a spot. Okay. The Oceana Dunes, it's $35 for a week, not a night. It's a week.
Wow.
You get a 1 week pass and it's $35, or you buy an annual pass, which is only $55 for the entire year to go and go camping there. So you look at the equal access, equal opportunity for low income families to be able to have the unique opportunity to camp on the beach, and they're trying to shut that down.
Wow.
So that was just why I tried to use those points to wake up legislators and make them aware of. So I took it to several assemblymen, several senators, but, you know, and try to make them aware, get their opinion of it and what's going on with it. And, you know, the number one thing I got told from the majority of them is start a petition, get a petition. That's the only way that you're going to
Who impressed you as far as legislators go the most? Who do you think will be able to help us the most? Or did you even get that sense? Or do they just keep telling you things that you need to do?
Yeah. They just tell me things that I need to do.
In other words, we're not doing anything at our end. You're going to have to generate the
I got a couple of help from their staff, a couple of natural resource staffers. There's Randy Vopel's, Ed, what's her name? Gail Baker?
Gail Reamer.
Gail Reamer. Randy Vopel's natural resource staffer. I think I think she's our biggest.
She's your ace in the hole, so to speak.
Yeah, ace in the hole, so to speak.
Or at least your conduit between, you know, the outside and the inside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To help us.
Pretty much every Republican up there will help us. We need to find friendly Democrat representatives, and there are some. It's not a partisan issue. There's lots of Democrats, you know, respect camping and access to the beach.
Yeah,
so we just need to find the right ones.
And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, when people say, "Oh, well, the Democrats, they won't do anything." Well,
that's not true. Issue, yeah, you got.
Yeah, it's bipartisan because when we start saying that the Democrats or the Republicans, that just incites division.
Yeah, it's equal access. You gotta talk to them too. You gotta get what their points of view are. You gotta want to figure out how they can help you and how they are willing to work with you in regards to keeping it open.
See, you know, but when you hear stuff like that, you know, then you just know that there's got to be money behind it someplace.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So how many days did you stay up in Sacramento?
3 days.
Okay.
Yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the rally. I did, unsurprisingly. I got the best day of my life, I would say. I was on cloud nine. Randy Vopel, my assemblyman, I had an appointment with. He made it for the late afternoon. Absolutely amazing. He is just, I get why he's not that well liked, because he is a very unique personality. And out of the 120 representatives that are up there in the state capitol building, legislators and senators, 120 of them that are up there, he told me that 9 of them have military backgrounds. Out of the 9 that have military backgrounds, he told me that 2 of them have actual combat experience, and him being one of them.
Uh-huh.
He's a Vietnam War veteran, as well as a couple of others. So he has a very unique point of view, and a lot of people don't like his point of view.
Well, sure.
But I think he does a lot to actually help us out. He gave me a private tour down below. I got to go into the actual assembly hall. He let me pretend that I was the speaker of the assembly, and I got to call legislative. I got to call my own legislation in. I unanimously passed my OHV legislation, and it was absolutely amazing. They had my name up on the board. I was on cloud 9.
Really?
Yeah, they let me totally pretend like
I didn't have anybody to videotape it.
I have a few pictures. I did post a couple of pictures up on the social media for that on Facebook.
So how close
did
it get you to want to be a politician?
Oh man, I 100% would love to be in there and be a politician, and at the same time I would run away so fast. But at the same time, it's like, oh man, did it give me some goals and some, you know, I feel like I try to stay like I am naive in regards to everything.
Sure,
look at my mentors, Ed Stoven, Amy Garnett, and a couple of Bob Hamm, you know, they're role models. They've been doing this for the last 30, 40 years.
Right.
They're so knowledgeable when it comes to the legislation process, how it works, you know, the different committees, and how one thing starts in one process and has to go through all these different processes. I had no idea that
it's
in depth
so
and
convoluted.
How it has to go through. Yeah. And all these different things it has to go through. I had no idea when it came to all of this. It's so confusing.
You could fire, tell me if I'm right, Ed, you could fire 3/4 of Sacramento and still run this state.
We might be better off.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, my friend. There is no doubt about it. I'm telling you, I'm right there with you when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's all the bureaucracy and all the hoops you got to jump through and all the committees and all the licensing. But yet there's no book that tells you how to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no different than you. Somebody going up to speak, you know, you didn't have a book that told you where to go and how to get there.
Nope. No, I had people from past experiences say, okay, well, if this is what you're working
right.
on, then you should probably go talk to this person and this person and this person.
Wow.
Oh, and go find this committee member and this committee member for this committee.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, that. And aside from that, I was like, just walk in the halls. Oh, well, this person's on this committee and this committee, because it says outside of their doors, it will say what they work on. So I would stop and I'd be like, oh, this is this person. And oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I need to go in here. So I would just open up the door and say, I'm sorry, I don't have an appointment with you. My name is Audrey. I'm just in from San Diego. I'm a regular person. I just wanted to know if you have time to meet with me. And
how many of them said no?
a few, majority of them, the staffers gave me, you know, the time. The staffers gave me 5 minutes, but the actual assembly member or senator, you know, I only got to speak with three of them that I did not have appointments with. Right. So,
well, that's three's better than nothing.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking with their staffers, you usually have to get to the staffers in the first place because that's what, you know, they're
it's like going through that administrative assistant. Boy, if you can't get through him or her, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
So now at least you have contacts. So if you want to go back to Sacramento, you can make some solid appointments and get in there.
Yes. Yeah. Now I know a little bit more about it. I think I'd be able to do a little bit better. I don't think I would be as nervous or intimidated.
Right.
You know, I read a couple of books and a couple of different blogs and things prior to so that I would, you know, not be as anxious or nervous.
Yeah. So, Ed, you've done this a few times, right?
I've been up there a bunch of times. Yeah. You know, you walk the halls and you have a bill that you're interested in. Some offices, I'd go in and I'd explain what I'm doing, and they would treat me like an important person. They'd bring me into the private room, and the head guy would come in and he'd sit down and with his notepad and his pen, and, okay, what's your concern? And I would explain it to him. In other offices, they would send the lowest intern to talk to me outside in the hallway.
Yep.
You know, with no pen. So it spans the spectrum of what kind, how much respect you get.
And those people are hired or voted in by us.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
They should open their doors to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
That's of age of voting legally, and they should not. There shouldn't even be a question. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, 15 more minutes, and we're going to throw these guys out right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer.
The Answer.
Oh, you're going to do it now. Right?
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
The Del Walmsley Radio Show, weekday mornings at 11 on The Answer San Diego.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
If you could do one thing that changed you forever, would you? How about something extraordinary? A bucket list item with years of memories packed into 10 exciting days. Set a clear new vision for yourself this year and join Dr. Sebastian Gorka and Mike Lindell on the Stand With Israel tour this December 2nd to 11th, 2020. Journeying through one of the most politically and spiritually significant places in the world, you'll see over 40 iconic sites straight from Scripture. For all the details and to reserve your spot today, visit TheAnswerSanDiego.com.
Streaming now at TheAnswerSanDiego.com and Radio.com.
I can hear your voice saying, won't you ever learn? Turn it over.
All right, folks, welcome back to Listen to Guns. Yak Radio with Dave Stahl, FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment brought to you by John's Automotive Import Repair, 7447 University Avenue. Napa Auto Care, ASE certified. These guys do it all. When you go work, get your car worked on there, guarantees good clear across the United States. Well, Audrey and I were talking a little bit off air, and I says, well, you know, you need to talk about some of the politicians that just kind of semi-blew you off. And you kind of said, well, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. No, Because if we're going to be voting people into office, they are our employees. You know, they work for us. We don't work for them. And that's what they need to understand. And if somebody comes in off the street, professional, not being a complete knucklehead, and asks for an audience, you know, you're not asking to sit there for 3 hours. You just want to sit down just for 10, 15 minutes tops. And the ones that say no shouldn't get voted back in because they're not open to the general public. You don't have to mention their names. So.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dave.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, I have a couple of bills when we're ready.
Yeah, go ahead.
So.
Wait a minute. You don't want us to pay for these, do you?
No, these are new legislative bills that the senators or the assemblymen have put in that have something to do with off-roading.
I thought Ed was in trouble. He's going to borrow some money.
Yeah, I
got a red light ticket.
I forgot my wallet and I ordered a steak.
Yeah, that's my Ed. Okay, so what are some of the bills on the market?
In the legislature. So there's one federal bill that we really like. It's H.R. 5797. It reauthorizes the recreational trails program. So this is federal in Washington. And RTP, recreational trails program, provides grants for off-road projects for government agencies, nonprofits, et cetera. And we like that. That's money that goes to help us. So we're for that bill. In the state legislature, you know, SDRC has a state lobbyist, and she is worth her weight in gold because she is very effective. When the bill deadline comes, like in the federal government, bills can be introduced anytime through the year. In the state, all the bills have to be introduced by late February. And once the bill deadline passes, like the next day, she will have sorted through all the bills and send us about 40 or 50 bills that may affect us. And then we read them and we say, okay, here are some bills that we really care about. So there's two bills that we really care about in the state, one we hate and one we love. The one we hate is SB 1147. Senator Glazier, who's the same guy that brought a similar bad bill last year, that wants to close Carnegie State Vehicular Recreation Area, or SVRA. And SVRA is like Ocotillo Wells, where I actually am right now. I'm out by Poline and 78, sitting in my van with my dirt bike outside. My buddies are here. They want to change it from a recreation area to a conservation area and effectively close off-roading there. And this bill was brought by a neighbor, a guy who's really smart. He's a trial lawyer. And he really hates living next to an off-road park. He's been trying for years to get it closed. And every year in the last 4 years, he's guided a representative to bring legislation to damage the park. He also has about four lawsuits running. He just lost a lawsuit a few weeks ago trying to close access to the four-wheel drive area and the motocross track. So this is SB 1147. We're going to be fighting it all year. We'll see how it goes. The bill we like and that our group is actually sponsoring, and this is really interesting what's going on. It's AB 2761, and we call it reciprocity. And reciprocity means for us, in our little world, within the states, that in California you get a green sticker for an off-road registration. So if you go to Nevada with your California green sticker, Nevada will recognize your vehicle and your registration, and you can go right around there. And California is the same. If you come to California with your Nevada registration, you're good to go in an off-road area. Well, two states, Arizona and Utah, have made a recent legislation that says if you come from California, you still have to get a registration from that state. It doesn't matter if you have an off-road registration from California, you need Arizona or a Utah registration. And that's just bad business. So when Arizona and Utah people come to California, what this bill is going to do is make them have to get a California registration also. And what we're doing, and it's not specifically against those states, it's any state that doesn't respect our registration, then we won't respect theirs. And our hope by running this bill is to get those two states to change their practices so that they will respect our registrations, in which case we will respect theirs.
It's no different than a driver's license. It's no different than a driver's. If I have a California driver's license and I want to drive to New York, I shouldn't have to get a New York driver's license, especially if I'm just visiting.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You hit the nail right on the head with that analogy.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to
get
an Arizona registration just because we want to do a special trip and go drive around once in a while.
So I read on
that. So we found a guy to carry it, Assemblyman Gallagher, and it's introduced, and we're going to be pushing it all year. Mm-hmm. So we have one bill we're fighting and one bill we're supporting. And when the whole gamut of bills come through, we'll sort through them, and we'll probably have a dozen or so bills that we'll be really looking at. But these two are going to be our big ones, at least so far.
But what we need to do, see, now this to me is a great KUSI segment. You don't have to have an event. Just bring some off-road vehicles to KUSI and just tell the general public, especially when it gets close to voting, say either that or contact your councilman or your senator or your republic, whatever, and let them know your feelings on these two bills. And so I'm happy to oblige.
Well, the Carnegie bill last year. Yeah.
Probably around April would be the right time. Through the legislative cycle, they go through different committees, and I think April is when it would be the best help for us.
Yeah, we'll
discuss one of those.
Book in April,
would that be the same early in the morning, Sarah?
Yeah. Yes, early in the morning.
Suck it up.
I'm just trying to find out.
Yeah, so, come on. Yeah. What'd she just say? Suck it up.
Being down there and
suck it up, Buttercup, or something like that.
Suck it up, Cupcake.
Oh, Cupcake. Cupcake, your nickname? Oh my God.
I don't know. We're there at like 7 in the morning, and some of your guys there look like they've been up.
They've been there since 3.
They're sharp. I mean, they didn't just roll out of bed a minute ago.
No, they've been there since 3. They'll eat lasagna when you get there. I can't even.
Fourth cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous before I go on KUSI with you. I can't sleep the night before.
Really?
I'm up at 3 in the morning. I usually have 3 or 4 cups of coffee, and I'm trying to just relax and breathe so I can get across from trying to get across.
3 cups of coffee is not going to relax you, dear. That's why you go 33 and a third. I mean, my goodness, boy, I'll tell you, the first time we had Audrey on KUSI, everybody stood back. I mean, there were sparks flying out of everywhere. I mean, this girl talked so fast, it was just amazing.
I don't think the auctioneer had anything on me.
No, the director said, "What was that?" I said, "Oh, you call that enthusiasm."
Hey, the second time I got offered a job.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You know, take it, if you got it, run with it. So if people
good looks and charm will take you a long way.
That's right. So folks, if you just tuned in and maybe you didn't get the show, are you guys putting these shows up on your website?
We are. Mm-hmm.
And the website is
www.sdorc.org. That's for San Diego Off-Road Coalition.org.
Right. So we're going to put once a month, they're going to be on KCBQ. It's the last Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep their website loaded with these shows. Then that way, if you have any questions or maybe you didn't catch it or, you want to hear it, all you got to do is go back. They're there because we all need to work together to get to the end result. I mean, and when you're telling me that California was gifted Pismo Beach.
Yes.
Listen to that. It was gifted.
It was a gift from California.
So what happened to everybody today? Now everybody either wants to sell it to you or close it or make money on it.
Mm-hmm. They want to close it. They don't want you to have access to it.
Of course not.
If you look at 30 years ago as opposed to today, there is less than 10% open.
Wow.
They said it's just over 5% of what is open of actual off-road access that you can go to in the dunes. And that's not just the beach, the entire Oceana Dunes area.
Which is huge.
Which is huge. It is thousands of acres. There is literally 5% open is what was open 30 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. All right, folks.
You know, There's a picture of a car there off-roading 100 years ago.
Yeah, a Model T. They used it.
Cut them up.
There was a Model A hill. There was a Model T hill. They all had names for the cars back in the day. But yeah, it was
Oldsmobile.
Oldsmobile. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny? All right. So the website again is
www.sdorc.org.
All right. Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot for coming in. Not you, Ed. I know you're still got your feet up, but I can smell that Budweiser as we're talking.
Smell the two-stroke oil?
Yeah. Oh, is that what that is? Thanks, buddy. All right, you guys are the best. Can't wait to talk to you down the road. This is FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.